have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you to Radio Masterpieces, where every week you'll hear the best of the radio from the past century, from the 1940s and 1950s, from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock p.m. This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you to a new program, Radio Masterpieces, where we bring you every week the best mysteries of the golden age of radio from the 1940s and 1950s. We often start with a song, and being that today is Easter, we're going to play a great tune sung by Bing Crosby and written by Irving Berlin. After that, you'll hear two of the best mysteries of the 1940s and 50s. If you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to write to Bruce@RadioMasterpieces.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this wonderful station. I know you're going to enjoy the program. Have a great week.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills departed, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look you over, I'll be the proudest fella in the Easter parade. On the Avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap her, and you'll find that you're in the Rose of Gravure. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade. The photographers will snap her, and you'll find that you're in the Rose of Gravure. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade.
And now, transcribed Mr. Broderick Crawford in Parole to Panic, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Well, Paul, there it is. The outside.
Yeah.
Pretty good, huh?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Enjoy it.
Hmm?
What I mean is, don't come back here. It's a pretty good life out there.
I won't be back. It's 2 years is enough for me.
Taking the train to town?
No, I don't think so. My wife's supposed to pick me up if she can borrow a car.
Well, good luck. It's not going to be easy for you.
Yeah, I know.
If there's anything I can do, if you need someone to talk to, advice, you know.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Warden. Thanks for seeing me to the door.
I like you, Paul. Don't let me down.
I won't.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Paul! Paul! Over here, Paul!
Jenny!
Oh, Paul. Paul.
Oh, darling.
Oh. Did I keep you waiting long?
No. Only a couple of seconds.
I was so afraid to drive fast. This is our car, you know.
Our car?
I bought it yesterday. It's for you.
Oh, sort of a coming-out present, huh?
Don't joke, Paul. Don't ever joke about being in prison.
Well, what do you want me to do, cry?
No, because that's what I know you're doing when you joke about it.
Come on, let's sit in the car. I still feel kind of funny about all this space to move around in.
All right. Slide in on this side. You drive.
Okay. Where'd you get the money to buy a car?
I only had to make the down payment on it. We'll manage the rest.
I'll manage the rest.
What?
Oh, I don't know if this is the time to talk about it, but I'm going to have to find a job. Can't have you taking care of me, you know.
Oh, that's all taken care of.
It is?
Yes. I told my boss what you knew about fixing radios and what you'd done while you were in the Army, and he arranged a job for you at the plant.
Did you tell him where I'd been for the past 2 years?
Yes, Paul.
Oh. I don't know how I ever got mixed up with that gang, Jenny.
Let's not talk about it.
It's too bad the district attorney didn't get them all while he was at it.
It's over, dear. Let's forget it. There are other things to think about now.
Jenny.
Yes?
I love you, Jenny. I love you very much.
I'm so glad, dear.
Shall we go home now?
Yes, let's. Tired?
No, I feel great.
Do you realize you've driven all the way from that place in only 2 hours?
Oh, it's not me, Jenny. It's the equipment. You got a real good deal here.
Mr. Miller found it for me.
Does he still have the same store?
Yes, why?
Well, I've got to see him right now.
After you report to the parole officer?
No. He said I had to report to him before I went home, but he didn't say anything about seeing Mr. Miller.
But Paul...
Oh, now, don't worry. It'll only take a minute or two.
Well... All right, but only a minute or two. You promise?
Yeah, I promise.
Up this afternoon. Yes, he'll deliver you a fresh dozen eggs. Yes. Goodbye, Mrs. Gordon. And what can I... Paul! Jenny!
How are you, Mr. Miller?
Well, Paul, it's good to see you. Well, you look fine.
I feel fine, too. I just dropped by to thank you for taking care of Jenny while I was gone. You know, the groceries and...
Not another word, Paul. You and Jenny are like my own. Besides, as soon as Jenny got a job, she paid me back.
Well, anyway, thanks.
Now, let me look at you. You're a good boy, Paul. Everything will be happy again.
Yeah, sure it will. Tell Roger I was here and I'll see him later, will you?
Tell him yourself.
What?
He's here, in the back room. Roger!
Never mind. I'll go back there.
All right.
I won't be long, darling.
Good.
Hi, Roger.
Oh, Paul. Come in. Well, it's good to see you, Paul.
Yeah, it's good to be here, too.
When'd you get back?
I just drove into town.
I'm sorry I couldn't do better for you at the trial.
Oh, you did fine. I don't know what would have happened to me if you hadn't defended me. Look, as soon as I get some money and a job, I'll pay you.
Oh, relax. No hurry. Paul?
Yeah?
You talked to anyone since you got back? I mean, outside of Pa and me.
Oh, no, I just told you. I just drove into town. Why?
Well, you know the DA didn't get the whole gang when they lowered the boom.
Yeah, sure, I know that.
Well, there's a rumor going around that they're waiting for you when you get out.
Why? What have I done?
They say you turned state's evidence.
But I didn't. I only told them the truth about what I knew.
I know that, but they don't.
All right, then, I'll tell them.
You're not going to have a chance to do it.
Why not?
Understand, this is only what I've heard through the grapevine. But I hear they're going to shoot first and then ask questions.
Well, then what am I going to do?
I don't know.
Maybe I can get somebody to take a message for me.
Paul.
What?
Paul, they won't believe anything you say.
Why not?
Because they don't want to believe you. They're looking for a pigeon.
Oh, and I'm it, huh?
You're it.
You think I ought to leave town?
Why don't you go to the police? They put you under protective custody.
What am I going to tell them?
Just what I told you that I heard.
No, Roger. If the police followed every crackpot rumor they heard, they'd run themselves ragged.
But this isn't a crackpot rumor.
They don't know that.
No, but
I'm going to get out of town. Denny's got enough money to keep us going for a while.
Well, keep in touch. If you need anything, just let me know.
Yeah, sure, I will. Thanks.
Sorry, I can't help more.
Well, there's nothing more you can do, Roger. So long.
Bye.
Where are we going?
Home, to pack.
Well, what for?
We're leaving town.
Why? Why are we leaving town?
Well, they're after me.
Why? Who's after you?
The rest of the gang.
Well, what did you do?
I told the truth in court. They call it ratting, singing, squealing. Just take your choice.
Oh, who told you all this?
Roger Miller.
But what about your job?
I can't keep it if I'm dead.
Oh, there must be something we can do.
Yeah, there is, and we're doing it. We're getting out.
Look, Paula, are you sure about all this?
I'm not going to wait for a bullet to make me certain.
Well, all right, if you think it's best.
I can't take the chance that I could be wrong. This happened so quickly that I got to get out of town, even if it's just so I can think clearly.
Do they know you're back in town?
No, I don't think so. That's why we better hurry.
Well, where out of town are we going?
I don't know. All I know is I'd better get out if I want to stay alive. I've got to get the overnight bag filled here. Let me see. This is it, I guess. What else do you need?
Well, I'm all set here. How about your clothes?
Oh, I don't know if they still fit, but I pack wetsuits look to be in shape. You ready?
Yes. Oh, are you sure, Paul? Are you sure Roger was right? He could be wrong.
Yeah,
you
sure
know?
He could be, but... Hello?
Hello, Paul.
Who is this?
You're gonna die today, Paul.
Who was it?
They know, Jenny. They know I'm back in town. I'll be right back. Mr. Miller.
Oh, well, what is it? You look so...
Where's Roger?
He went to court. He has a case today. Why?
Doesn't make any difference. Look, Mr. Miller, do you have a gun?
A gun? Yes, I have a gun, but I...
All right,
don't...
give it to me.
What?
I need a gun, Mr. Miller. Please let me have it.
You don't know what you're doing, Paul. A gun. I'm sorry, but
I can't... Mr. Miller, please, it's my life. I gotta have a gun.
But why?
I haven't got time to explain now. Ask Roger when he gets back. He'll tell you all about it.
I have a permit. He'll want to know where you...
It'll be all right. Just give me the gun. Please, I gotta hurry.
You say Roger will tell
you? Yeah, he'll tell you. Please, Mr. Miller, hurry.
Well, all right. Here, Paul. I'm doing a wrong thing, but if Roger says it... Be careful, Paul.
Yeah, Yeah, I will.
Why did you have to stop there?
I had to get something.
What?
A gun.
Oh, Paul, you're on parole. If they catch you with a gun...
They won't catch me. As soon as we're out of town, I'm going to ditch it.
Oh, Paul, isn't there a chance Roger might have been wrong? Maybe they've forgotten about you.
No, not with that telephone call I got just before. Jenny.
Yes, Paul?
We're being followed.
How do you know?
I know. Watch when we go around the corner. Watch that blue sedan about a half a block in back. See him?
No, Oh, there they are.
All right, now watch the next corner. Well, Jenny?
Yes. They're following us, Paul.
Well, Jenny?
They're still following us.
What are they doing? Torturing me? Follow us this closely, they can catch us anytime they want to.
Oh, go to the police, Paul. Don't be afraid.
I'm not afraid of the police. It's what's in back of us that I'm afraid of.
Well, then let the police take care of them.
Don't you see? If I go to the station and stop the car, they'll blast before I get to the front door. That's why they're following us so closely.
Well, they'd have to be crazy.
Yeah, they are crazy. But if I stop, I'll be dead and they'll still be crazy. No. No, we gotta lose them. Then we'll figure out something. Do you see them?
No.
Good. I think we lost them this time.
What do we do now?
Well, we're almost out of gas. We better stop.
Well, all right.
But what?
Oh, call the police. Tell them what's happened.
I intend to, Jenny. This is pretty open country. I guess we better stop at the first station we see. I'll telephone while they're filling the tank.
Well, I'm starting to feel a little better.
Yeah, so am I.
Oh, Paul, there's a station.
Yeah, I see it.
What'll it be?
Fill her up, will you?
Right, sir.
Say, you got change for a quarter?
Yeah, I think so. Here. Help yourself.
Okay. 10, 20, 25. Here's your quarter.
Just drop it.
Right. Say, where's the phone?
Back to the station.
Thanks a lot. Operator. Operator, I want the police. Yes, my name is...
Paul! Oh, they just drove past. I think they saw the car.
What?
They're stopping down the road.
Come on.
14 already, mister. I don't think she'll take much more.
Hey, Jenny! Jenny, they're turning around.
Hey, mister, you didn't wait for... Hey! Hey! Hey, what are you trying to pull? Hey! Hey!
How'd they find us? How?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, Jenny. Jenny.
Oh.
Jenny, listen to me.
What is it?
This car isn't fast enough to stay away from.
Well, then what'll we do?
I'm going to turn in the first side road we come to, and then you're getting out.
No. No, I won't do it.
You got to. I can't.
I'm not getting out of the car.
Jenny, they'll kill you, too.
I don't care. I've been away from you long enough.
All right, then we'll keep going.
Do you know where we are?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way we can get back to town from here.
It'll be dark soon.
I know that.
Maybe we can get away then.
Catch up to us before dark. They can catch us anytime they want to.
Paul, do you know where we are?
I told you before, Jenny.
No, no. I mean, you remember the cabin where we spent a weekend, the first winter we were married?
Yeah, why?
Well, it was on a road that turned off this one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. We got that cabin from one of the boys. Do you remember?
Yes, but it's better than sitting in the car and waiting for them.
Okay, let's go. You remember what a side road was?
Well, it pretty soon now, I just past a bridge, I think.
Oh, Jenny, I hope you're right.
Oh, I do too, Paul. I do too.
It's locked.
I don't have a key.
All right, I'll kick it in.
Hurry, Paul. I hear them.
Yeah, so do I. Step back, Jenny. All right, stay away from the windows. There's enough light yet for him to shoot. Let's push this table against the door. Come on.
Okay.
Here they are. Okay, Jenny. You stand over there. As soon as they come up the steps, I'm going to start shooting.
Maybe they're afraid.
No, they couldn't be, because they know I am.
What are they waiting for?
I don't know. I haven't even gotten out of the car yet.
Do they know you have a gun?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I wish they'd do something.
Paul.
What? Wait. Wait a minute. They're on their way.
Paul.
What?
There's a telephone in the cabin.
Where?
I think it's in that cabinet on your left.
Okay. Yeah, here it is. Hello? Hello? Hello, operator. It's disconnected.
Did you say it was disconnected?
Either that or they just cut the wire. Yeah, that's what happened. One of them just cut the wires.
Where are they going?
I don't know.
Maybe they changed their minds, huh?
No, I doubt it.
Well, then why would they drive away?
Well, they didn't go far.
But why did they go at all?
They're not sure whether I got a gun or not. If I have one, they know they're asking for it if they rush the cabin.
How long can we stay here?
Jenny, we're leaving now.
But you said they're just down the road.
We're going to leave on foot.
What?
Tell me, can you walk much in those shoes you got on?
Yes, the heels are pretty low. Why?
All right. We'll head into the woods. Go east as far as we can. We'll sleep out in the open tonight. And we'll head for the first house we see when daylight hits.
All right, Paul.
I'm going to go out first. You follow me in a couple of seconds.
Yes.
Now help me with this table in front of the door. I don't want to slide it.
All right.
It looks clear. A few seconds, Jenny, remember that. Then follow me.
I will. Oh!
They suck at me, Jenny. They had a guy planted out there.
Oh, you're bleeding, Paul.
Yeah, I'm hurt. I'm hurt bad.
We gotta try to stop the bleeding.
Try all you want to. I don't think you can do it.
But we've got to try.
Yeah. They're back to pick up the body. Sure gonna be disappointed, aren't they?
Oh, Paul. I'm frightened. I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to help you.
Just stay close to me, Jenny. Stay close. I'll think of something.
Paul.
Yeah, Jenny.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still bleeding.
Let me talk to them. They'll listen to me. I'm a woman. You've got to get a doctor.
No, Jenny. That's what they want, don't you understand? They want me to die, and I'm going to.
Don't say that, Paul. Don't say
it's
that.
It's true, Jenny. It's true, but... Well, I'm not going to die alone.
What are you going to do?
They haven't gotten out of the car since they came back. That means they're all together. Well, I still got 4 slugs left in the gun. I'm going to use them. Get back, Jenny. I got to break this window. You out there. Why don't you come in and get me? All right, I'll come out and get you.
Easy, Paul. Take it easy. You're going to be fine.
Who are you?
Police.
Jenny. Where's Jenny?
Here I am, darling.
When did they get here?
Just after you came out shooting.
How did you find me?
Roger Miller called us after you got the gun from his father.
But how did you know where to look?
You left the receiver off the hook in the service station. There we checked all the side roads looking for a big gasoline stain where you might have turned off the main road.
Gasoline?
The attendant was still pumping gas into your car when you drove away. He never got the chance to replace the cap on your tank.
Oh. We'll pick it up some other time. Won't we, Jenny?
Yes, Paul. We'll pick it up some other time.
Valley 103.1 FM.
And now the Whistler's strange story. Stolen murder.
Ken Broderick and Tom Barton had grown up together and were fast friends. Until Ken married Helen Johnson. Helen had never liked Tom, not only because he was pasty-faced and sickly, but principally because of his influence in keeping her husband Ken in St. Augustine, Florida. According to Tom, they were going to write great American novels and bring the world humbly to their door. But Helen had other ideas. A letter to her brother, who was an important literary agent in New York, and she wangled a job for Ken as copywriter in a small Manhattan advertising agency. And so on that night of February 23rd, they were ready to say goodbye to Florida and to Tom Barton.
Thank heavens, Ken. This is the last time we'll drive down this street. Look at it. 11 o'clock and everybody, absolutely everybody in bed.
Yeah, I suppose. But you know, we're liable to miss this old town after we've been in New York a while, don't you?
Oh, Ken, that again. For heaven's sake.
I can't help it. If Tom would only go along with us, it'd be different.
Tom, will you do me a favor and forget Tom? When we got married, we were going to travel and meet people and do exciting things. Well, this is our chance.
Sure, this is our chance. Okay, here we are. Say goodbye to Tom and that's that.
I'll be glad to get this over.
Well, coming with me, aren't you?
Do I have to?
It's the least you can do, Helen.
All right. It'll make you feel any better. Looks to me as if he's already in bed, like the rest of the dear citizens.
Probably in back working on his book. Look, Helen, try to be halfway decent to him, will you?
Of course.
Funny, I don't hear him. Helen.
What?
Suppose he had one of his attacks?
He's probably only sleeping.
I don't know. Door's unlocked. Tom? Hey, Tommy! Tom! Tell him I don't like this.
Wait a minute before you wake up the neighbors. Look, coming up the walk.
Huh? Oh, Tommy. Hey, we were beginning to worry about you. Ken. Helen. What are you doing here? Oh, how do you like that? We leave tomorrow and you ask
tomorrow.
Me.
Tomorrow?
Oh. Oh, I forgot. Tom. Hey, what's the matter with you? Oh, it's... Helen, yes. Going to get some water, quick.
Okay.
Here, you better sit down on the step.
I'm sorry, Ken. I'm all right now.
Oh, the devil, you're all right. Tom, this is crazy. What you need is a good specialist. You can't go on like this. Now, if you'd only use your head and come to New York with
New...
it.
New York?
Well, sure, there's plenty of room in the car. We could get a good doctor for you and find out what this is all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is he?
I guess you're right, Ken. You are right. I will go with you tomorrow.
You will? Oh, that a boy. Helen. Helen, did you hear that? Tom's going with us.
Yes, I heard. Here, drink your water.
So you won your point, didn't you, Ken? Tom came to New York with you. But somehow after 6 months in the city, that doesn't seem to matter anymore. No, other things concern you now. Your dark, stifling apartment, your dreary job, your salary that will barely pay the bills, Helen scolding and scolding. And Tom? You don't even see him. He's convinced he's going to die. And he sits in his little room, frantically writing day and night. Writing the great American novel, remember? And then late one night he calls and insists that you come down to see him right away. It's nearly midnight when you get there.
Well, Jeff, Tommy. You're sick again, is that it?
No, no. Sit down, Ken. Got something to tell you.
You seen Dr. Hansen?
No, it's not that.
But that's why you came to New York in the first place. Listen, Hansen's the best there is, and you haven't even been near
him. Look, I'm sick of doctors. Anyway, it's too late now.
Oh, don't say that.
It's true. And I want to talk about it. Ken.
Yeah?
I finished it.
Finished it?
My book.
No.
Yes. But you're going to be surprised. It's not the kind of thing we always talked about writing. It's a mystery story.
Oh, great.
I decided since I didn't have much time, I decided I'd write a book that would sell fast, and mysteries sell fast. So that's it, Ken. And, well, would you take it down to Helen's brother?
Helen's brother?
Yes. You said he was one of the biggest literary agents in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if he likes it, he can get it read fast and published fast. If I just send it in cold, it'll take weeks, maybe months. I haven't got time to fool around, Ken.
Oh, stop.
I'm lucky if I last a month.
Listen, will you cut out that kind of talk? If it'll make you feel any better, I'll take it to Bill tomorrow.
Well, not tomorrow. It's in longhand. It'll have to be typed first.
Oh, that's all right. Listen, I know where I can get a rush job done.
Oh, swell.
Now listen, kid. You take care of yourself and just leave it to me.
Oh, thanks, Ken. Thanks a million.
And so you take poor, sick Tom's book and you get on the bus to go home. You decide to glance through it. But after the first page, you can't put it down. You ride past your stop, excited and amazed. Tom has done what all good writers do, written about the places and people he knows. He calls the town in his book Centerville, California. But it's St. Augustine, Florida, down to the last duffer sitting in the square. Somehow you manage to get home, and toward dawn as you turn the last page, it hits you. This is a bestseller. This book means money, fame. But Tom's going to die. And he hasn't any relatives. Such a pity, isn't it? All that money and fame and nobody to enjoy it.
Hello?
Ken, that you?
Oh, yeah. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm all right. Haven't you heard from Bill yet about the book? It's been 3 weeks.
And... Well, yeah, I was going to call you. Bill liked the book quite well, but he thinks you should do a little rewrite.
Rewrite? I haven't time. I feel terrible. I thought the book was good just as it stands.
Oh, it is, except for a few minor points. Look, Tom, I've been thinking. You know that little cabin Helen and I rented in June up in Connecticut?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I can get it for you cheap. It's kind of a dump, but it's way off by itself. If you get up there and spend a couple of weeks rewriting some spots and...
Yeah, I gotta get out of New York anyway. That's an idea.
Well, suppose I call the real estate agent right away and then Saturday I'll drive you up.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Ken. I don't know why you do all these things for me.
Oh, forget it. After all, what are friends for? Yes, that's a question, Ken. What are friends for? Tom is grateful, of course, when you make all the arrangements and drive him up to Connecticut. He appreciates it when you spend the day helping him get comfortable in his new surroundings, and he doesn't suspect anything. But what would he say if he knew copies of his manuscript had gone to the publisher with your name on it as author? Yes. What would he say if he knew you had stolen his work, perhaps the last work of his lifetime? What would he say if he could see you now in the office with Helen's brother?
$1,000, Ken, and that's just the advance. I don't know why the devil Helen never told me you could write like that.
Well, it takes time to get going.
You're going now, all right. I don't know if I ought to tell you this, but...
What's up?
Well, I sent copies of your story out to Hollywood, and I got a tip-off. It's just grapevine so far, but one of the studios is interested in the book for their biggest star.
Pictures? Oh, my gosh, I never dreamed
of... They thought the characterization of the victim DeWitt was out of this world. In fact, all the characters.
Oh, gee, when will you know definitely?
Probably tomorrow. Better stay by your phone, because we want to close the deal quick. And if we get the answer I think we'll get, you're practically a rich man.
Hello, Bill?
No, it's me, Tom.
Tom. I was expecting a call from Bill, on your book. Where are you, anyhow?
I'm in Fairfield, Ken, and I've got news, terrific news.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, maybe it's early to say yet, and I may be disappointed, but... Well, Dr. Hansen seems so sure.
Dr. Hansen? Tom, for the love of Mike, what are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm excited. I'm trying to tell you that I came over here to Fairfield. I was going by this house out at the south end of town, and I saw a brass plate on the door.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Frank Hansen. He lives out here. I remembered he was the specialist you were always talking about. Well, I took a chance. It's all an allergy, Ken. Certain foods, they poison me, and...
And what, Tommy?
And... Well, don't you get it? Hansen says 6 months of rest out here and strict diet, and I'll be a new man. Oh, think of it, Ken. I'll probably outlive you after all.
Now what happens to you? You've signed contracts. You've accepted money on the stolen book. Hollywood beckons.
Or is it the penitentiary?
Well, perhaps you can squeeze out of the hole with the law, but not with Helen's brother or with Helen. The disgrace, Ken, the scandal, the humiliation. You can almost hear Helen nagging you now as you hang on to the receiver half dazed. Nagging.
Ken, are you still there?
Huh? Oh, sure, Tom, yeah.
I thought you'd hung up.
Well, no. It's just the news. I'm so happy for you, I don't know what to say.
Listen, there's something else important. Another favor. Would you get my book back from Bill for me?
Get your book back, Tom?
Yes, I've changed my mind. I mean, after thinking it over, I know it's not ready for publication. I've written a lot of new material.
No. I'm not sure I can get it.
But it's important to me. I'm coming down tomorrow. I'll get it myself.
No, you can't do... Didn't the doctor tell you to stay there and rest?
Well, yes.
Well, then you can't start running all over the place right away. The noise of New York and all, Tommy. Listen, I'll bring the manuscript up to you myself on Saturday. Meanwhile, you stay right there.
You're sure you can get the book back right away?
Yes, I'll get it. Don't worry. Listen, I'll see you Saturday.
Okay.
And, Tom?
Yes?
We'll take the day and celebrate the good news, huh? Maybe a little hunting?
Thank you.
Muscles, how's Trick?
Ken, you old son of a gun, it's good to see you, boy.
Hey, boy, you look great.
Oh, really? I can hardly believe it, but I've gained 3 pounds already.
3 pounds?
Yeah, well, come on in, come in.
Yeah. Hey, that 3 pounds on you looks good.
I never felt better in my life. It's great.
Well, here, sit down.
Yeah, sit down. Thanks. I was watching for you down toward the road.
Huh? I guess I got lost. I came the back way.
You mean you walked all the way from town?
Yeah, I thought the walk would do me good.
Oh, is that my book?
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
here it is.
Good. Wait.
Hmm?
This is just my original in longhand. What about the copies you had typed?
Oh, I didn't think you'd want them.
Look, I want all the copies. These revisions.
Okay, I'll send them to you after I get back. Helen said to say hello.
Oh? How is she, anyhow?
Fine, just fine. Pete's been bothering her a little. In fact, I was glad for an excuse to get out of town myself.
Then you are going to spend the day?
Spend the day? Sure. We're going after rabbits, aren't we?
Oh,
you know, like
sure.
The good old days down in St. Augustine?
Well, I don't know if we'll really find any rabbits. Don't remember seeing one since I've been up here. But no harm in looking.
Well, you've got your shotgun up here, haven't you?
Uh-huh. It's on the mantel. I'll get it.
Oh, unless you want to rest a while. No. Let's get it Let's get all the fresh air we can. I don't get out much, you know.
Okay. We can't go far, though. Doctor's orders.
That's right. We won't go too far.
Well, here's old Betsy. Guess we're all set, then. Ready?
Sure.
It's been kind of warm up here the last couple of days.
Well, walking up that road, I sure felt it.
I bet. What do you say? This way, down by the meadow?
No, let's go back in the woods. I saw some rabbits there in June when we were up.
Okay. Ken.
Yeah?
Something the matter? Something on your mind?
No, I was just thinking. Tommy, it's been a long time since we've done this, huh?
Yeah. A lot's happened.
Gun loaded, Tommy?
No, not yet. Fine thing, hunting rabbits with an empty gun. You know, Ken, you don't look so well.
No?
You ought to give up that job and get one up here in the country.
Hey,
where you...
there's one over there. Yeah, I see him. Get a beat on him. Oh, you knocked him end over end.
I sure did.
Looks like a beauty.
Yeah. Ah, how's that for a shot?
Good going.
Nice and fat, too. Well, we'll have rabbit stew, Ken. In you go, old boy. Ah, come on, Ken.
Wait,
there's one rabbit around. There's bound to be a million more.
Yeah, how about me taking the gun?
Huh?
I want to try my hand at knocking over a rabbit.
Oh, sure. Here you are.
Thanks. Oh, Tommy, listen to me. Now listen to me close, kid. Tom, I want you to forgive me.
Forgive you? What for?
Tom, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, no.
Tom, I have to. It's your book, Tom. It's a great book, and they're publishing it. It's a bestseller. It'll make a fortune.
Ken, what are you saying? You said you got my book back. You said that.
I stole it.
You stole it?
I thought you were going to die. You thought so. You told me just a few weeks.
Yes.
And all that money, Tom, I couldn't resist it. I stole the book in my name.
Oh,
and now you're going to live. But you can't. I can't help it, Tom. But I can't let you live.
Ken, wait. Listen. You can't do it. You won't get away with it. Listen to me, Ken. You're
sticking
your
neck, Tom. No.
So it's done, Ken, all over. And you put the gun under the body just as you'd planned. But you're weak in the knees, and you don't know if you can get back into town unseen or not. And then suddenly you find strength you didn't know you had. Because through the brambles there's a sound.
Hey!
And a voice.
Is it? You got a rabbit? Hey!
You dive for the embankment of a little stream and press yourself hard against the ground behind a rock.
Hey! Good Lordy.
You can see him now. A tall kid carrying a shotgun. And you hang onto your heart as he stops, looks at the body, and gazes slowly all around. Then he suddenly leans over, fumbles at Tom's jacket a moment, picks up the rabbit Tom shot, and sticking it under his belt, hurries off in the direction he came. And you, Ken, you lie there wondering if you'll ever breathe freely again.
And so it's my pleasure to announce that not only will the book hit the stands tomorrow, but...
Oh, come on, Bill, will you stop teasing?
But the contracts were finally signed in Hollywood yesterday. Ken, you're a rich man.
Oh, Ken!
$50,000.
$50,000 and not a care in the world.
Yeah, not a care in the world.
And did you see the publicity in this morning's paper? What breaks we're getting. The lead column in the Times book section.
No. Hey, that's wonderful. Haven't seen the papers yet, but...
Oh, well, I'd rather hoped you had.
Well, Bill, what's the matter?
I'd hope that this wouldn't have to spoil the good news, but your friend Tom Barton...
Tom?
I might as well give it to you straight. He was killed by a shotgun out near Fairfield.
Oh, no.
They only found the body last night.
Oh, Ken. Suicide?
No, they thought that at first. Ill health. But a doctor out there says he was in good spirits. He had every chance of recovery.
The doctor? Then an accident?
Worse than that. From the position of the gun and the body, they suspect murder.
No.
But look, Jen, it's nothing for you to worry about. You don't want to let it spoil the success of your book.
What was it you were thinking about, Ken?
Breathing easily? No, no, not yet, you can't. The delay in finding the body gave you some hope. But now you know exactly what will happen. Question, his best friend. Do you know anyone who would have reason to kill him? You have to go out to Fairfield to identify the deceased. And again to answer more questions and more questions. Bill tries to comfort you with reports of great sales for the book. But every breath is still like a knife in your throat. Then the coroner's verdict. That's something to wait for. Isn't it, Ken?
Look, Ken, I know how much Tom meant to you.
Cut it out. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, you don't have to snap my head off. You think the coroner's verdict can make a difference. It won't bring Tom back.
Helen, for heaven's sake, will you shut up? Will you please, please, just once keep your mouth shut?
All right, Ken.
The phone.
Well, don't you want to answer?
It might be news about the verdict.
That's what you want, isn't it?
No. I mean, answer it. Answer it, will you?
Yes. Yes.
Who is it, Helen?
Bill. Yes, Bill. It came through? He was a kid.
Helen, what is it? Tell me now.
The coroner's verdict, Ken.
Yeah?
A young kid. They picked him up trying to pawn Tom's watch.
Uh-huh.
He admitted being on the scene of the shooting and taking the watch from Tom's jacket. Confessed the whole thing.
Confessed the whole thing?
What, Bill? He testified that no one was there, so it just had to be accidental? The jury couldn't reach any other verdict, huh?
Accidental? Helen!
You want to talk to him, Ken?
Huh? Oh, no, I'll call him... No, wait. Yes, I will talk to him. I think it's time the three of us went out somewhere. To celebrate my book.
Well, Ken, it's all over. The whole chain of events that began on that night you left St. Augustine with Helen and Tom has come to an end. And as much as it surprises you, you find that you can breathe easily. You can breathe deeply the refreshing air of success and security. No more sleepless nights. No more prying, no more questions. Well, no more, that is, except from the publicity men who are eager to make the details of your life into interesting reading for their columns.
Well, I think that should give you all you need, Mr. Dougherty. Good writer can always make something out of nothing, can't he?
Oh, sure. Sure, of course, Mr. Broderick. But there are just a couple of details about your life in St. Augustine.
Can't you give him that bill? I've got some work up.
Well, no, Ken. He wants exact dates and,
All right. What do you want?
Well, let's see. You, left St. Augustine about a year and a half ago. I don't suppose you remember the exact date.
Matter of fact, I do. It was February 23rd, 1945.
Uh-huh. Well, that's all I needed. That's the exact date that Donald Dewey, or Donald DeWitt, disappeared.
Dewey? DeWitt? Say, what is all this?
Ken, I might as well tell you now that Mr. Dougherty isn't a publicity man. He's from the St. Augustine police.
Police? Look, if this is somebody's idea of a joke...
Joke? Not quite, Mr. Broderick. The minute someone called your book to our attention, we recognized the locale as St. Augustine, Florida, not Centerville, California.
Well, what about it?
We recognized the murder victim as Donald Dewey, not Donald DeWitt. We followed the directions in the book down to the last detail, and it led us straight to Dewey's missing body. Only the actual murderer, the author of that book, could have known where it was hidden.
Murderer? Oh, no. So that's why he changed his mind about leaving Florida. That's why he didn't want the
book... Look, Ken, you'd better not say any more until we get you an attorney. But for the life of me, I'll never know why you did this. To sit down and write about an actual murder. Like the confession of a dying man.
Like the confession of a dying man? Well, that's funny, Bill. What you just said is very funny.
The funny little bunny with a powder puff tail. There was a little bunny who lived down the lane in his home in an old log rail. With his little pink nose and his long white ears, the funny little bunny with a powder puff tail. He woke one morning and his mama said, "Now take this yellow pail of Easter eggs to the boys and girls, you funny little bunny with a powder puff tail." But on his way, a big bad wolf leaped from the side of the trail. He snapped at the bunny with his long white teeth, but all he got was the powder puff tail. Away he ran to the children's house as fast as he could sail. And the big bad wolf was fooled again by the funny little bunny with the powder puff tail. Funny little bunny lives safe and sound in his home in the holler rail. And he sits and he paints on his Easter eggs, the funny little bunny with a powder puff tail. The big bad wolf can't bother him, he's grown too old and frail. No longer can he harm our pal, the funny little bunny with a powder puff tail. So every Easter the bunny can go to the home of the girlies and boys. He takes them lots of Easter eggs to fill their hearts with Easter joys. Now the funny little bunnies all gather round to hear him tell the tale of the way he fooled the big bad wolf, the funny little bunny with the powder puff tail. The funny little bunny with a powder puff tail.
I have flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours. And ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.